Hi, and welcome to WhiskeyCast, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and in just a few minutes, we'll talk with a whiskey maker who went from the height of tradition to becoming a whiskey rebel. But first, the news. In the last episode, I reported on NASCAR champion Kurt Busch's run-in with police last week in Phoenix and his subsequent suspension for the final two races of the season by car owner Jack Roush. Since then, some new information has come to light, and in the interests of fairness, I'd like to update the story. Busch was administered a breathalyzer test after he was stumped by sheriff's deputies near the Phoenix track. Their initial report was that the machine failed, but now the sheriff's department says Busch's blood alcohol level was 0.017. Now that's well below the legal limit, and very consistent with Busch's story that he had only had one beer before leaving the track. Busch's car was sponsored by Crown Royal Canadian Whiskey, and he had been featured in its responsible driving ad campaign. Jack Roush, the car owner, did talk with Diageo executives before suspending his driver, but says he was just as upset with Busch's behavior during the traffic stop. Here's a bit of advice for you. There are six words that one should never use when being stopped by the police. The six words? Don't you know who I am? Enough said. And while we're talking about Crown Royal and Diageo, the company says its sales and profit expectations for the first half of the fiscal year may take a beating because of the hurricanes along the U.S. Gulf Coast. The Scotsman, reports Diageo Finance Director Nick Rose, says Crown Royal sales are down significantly this fall. Crown Royal is Diageo's most profitable brand in the U.S. The company expects sales and profits to recover in the first half of 2006. If you're a fan of the Dalmore and live in the U.S., you could get a $5 rebate on your next bottle. The Dalmore's U.S. distributor is offering mail-in rebate coupons to members of the Dalmore Fellowship Affinity Group on purchases between now and January 6th. New members are eligible, too. You can sign up at the Dalmore website. There's a link to it at www.whiskeycast.com, where you'll also find a link to my email address, and I'd love to hear from you. The address is comments@whiskeycast.com. The McAllen has a reputation for prestige, and to be a master distiller at McAllen is usually the highlight of one's career. David Robertson had that job, but now he's better known as Robbo of John, Mark, and Robbo's Easy Drinking Whiskey Company.
How does one go from the tradition of that other place to basically becoming what looks like a rebel in the whiskey business?
Yeah, tough question. I was kind of lucky to land up at McAllen back in 1994. Great time there, great fun launching lots of new stuff and doing lots of bits and bobs. But the I can't claim any credit for the John McEnroe idea. It was John and Mark's idea. So they got me involved just to knock up the whiskies. So yeah, it's rebellious, it's a little bit different, it's maverick, it's pioneering, it's all these kind of words that you want to use. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're still making good-tasting whiskey. You know, it's not a gimmick, it's not kind of crap liquid inside the bottle, it's just a different approach. And hopefully, like Ben & Jerry's ice cream or Innocent Smoothies in the UK or some other brands that you can mention, you know, there must be an alternative approach. No, you know, you don't have to always do Fogs, Bogs, Stags and Heather, Tartan, Hillside. So hopefully this is a different approach.
Now, is this a way basically to market to the new generation that really doesn't understand Scotch and you're trying to draw them in the door? Is this a way to get them in the door?
Yes, partly that. I mean, essentially, the thinking behind this from John and Mark's point of view, who came up with the idea, was they loved the taste of whiskey but hated the way it was packaged and marketed. So they kind of wanted to create something that would turn themselves on. So they're in their early 30s, I'm in my kind of mid-30s. So essentially, we sat down and said, you know, there must be a different way. Everything else is kind of, as we mentioned, it's brown, it's green, it's gold, it's premium, it's Fogs and Bogs and blah, 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 blah. So we've just taken a kind of completely counterpoint to that and trying to flick it a different way. So yeah, of course it'd be great if we turned on new consumers. Fantastic, that's the holy grail for the Scotch whisky industry. But it's more for people that have maybe come through kind of vodkas, gins, other spirits. They kind of know that malt whisky is good, it's tasty, it's a quality drink, and maybe this will bring them into it, hopefully.
I've got the Smoky Peaty one here.
Okay.
Tell me what I'm looking for when I taste this.
Sure. Well, we've got three styles. So we've got a sweet style, a spicy, and you've obviously got the Smoky Peaty one just now. And what we've tried to do with the three whiskies is create three kind of easy to recognise easy to understand flavours. So Smoky Peaty uses four whiskies from Islay, one from the Isle of Mull and one from the Isle of Orkney, all combined together. So we're not talking about age statements, we're not talking about wood finishing, we're not talking about distillery of origin, we're just talking about the flavour. So the three whiskies focus on flavour, but of course we're not allowed to add any flavour to whiskey because by law you can't do that. So just by selecting, much as a winemaker might do, or a parfumier, or a coffee blender, or a chocolatier, you just choose different kind of products and then combine them together to create the different style of whiskey that you want.
I'm trying this, and I get a lot of peat off the front of my tongue.
Okay, that's excellent.
And I'm getting a little bit of aroma in the back.
Okay.
I can taste the peat, but I'm having trouble sensing what else is in there. What should I be looking for?
Well, I mean, everyone's palate is different, of course. I mean, the way we would describe it is the most obvious character, as it's kind of labelled on the bottle, is the smoky peaty style.
I'm getting the smoke.
But within that, we've also tried to get a little bit of sweetness, because some of the whiskies that we've used are matured in bourbon barrels, but there's also some spiciness and some fruitiness there as well. Most obvious thing is the smoke and the peat, but there's one or two other bits and bobs going on too.
And it's a little smoother, it seems to me to be smoother than some of the Islays. Basically, the single malt Islays. Is that a result of the blending process?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what we're trying to do is create an easy drinking style of peaty whiskey or smoky whiskey. So the challenge with some of the Islay whiskies is that they can be too assertive, too aggressive, too phenolic. So what we've essentially done is blend in some Highland Park that just softens everything out. And Highland Park, some people describe as being smoky, but also it's got this kind of sweet heather honey type character. So that just knocks back or dilutes out some of the very dry, smoky, assertive flavours from Islay.
Okay, it's wonderful. I'm getting the sweetness now. I'm getting the smokiness and the peatiness, but it seems to be more well-balanced than, say, a single cask Islay, and it's wonderful stuff. Now, you just really recently hit the States, recently. Tell me about your marketing plan. How are you getting the distribution out? Where are we going to see this in the States sometime soon? I know you're in UK. I know you're in Canada. What's the distribution going to be like for this?
Yeah, I mean, essentially in the States, we are delighted to be distributed by the Remy Cointreau Corporation. And essentially, they use fairly big distributor networks in all the different states. But in terms of the outlets that we're going to are classically the liquor stores for the off-trade. But what we're looking at doing in the on-trade is penetrating more of the kind of pubs and bars. So we're not going for high-end style bars. We're not really looking at kind of high-end hotel bars or restaurants. It's much more places where people would go to enjoy maybe some craft beers, some good draft ales, maybe they've got a good bourbon range and a reasonable Scotch selection. So we're not kind of going for the same places that a Macallan might go for, or a Glenmorangie, or a Highland Park, or an Ardbeg. You know, we're trying to flick it around slightly differently.
Which one of these is your favourite?
Out of the three that we've created so far, and there's a fourth one coming soon, my favourite is the Rich Spicy. Four different single malts in that, Glenrothes, Tamdhu, Highland Park and Boonhaven, all matured in sherry cask. So it kind of reminds me much more of the Macallan style of flavour.
The names and the marketing campaign may put off some traditional whiskey drinkers, but there's no doubt about one thing. These guys are making some seriously good whiskey. By the way, just to get one Whiskey Cast ground rule out in the open, no one pays to be on Whiskey Cast. I receive no compensation for interviews, other than the chance to expand my own knowledge, and hopefully yours as well. That's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. Again, the email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and as always, it's whiskey without the E. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2005, and comes to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly, and never say, "Don't you know who I am?" Thanks for listening.